Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network at the MinAg Expo here in Mankato. We are talking to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Tell us a little bit. You just had a press release yesterday talking about budget, and that's been a big discussion here lately. Some child care, some education points to talk about there. Tell us a little bit more about that and what that might mean for rural Minnesota especially.
Yeah, well, it's good to be down here in Mankato. You can feel the optimism. While it's winter, folks are already thinking about spring planning, thinking about some of the things that are coming. I think the biggest thing is talking about this budget as an opportunity to look to the future, how we talk about our workforce, how we develop and capitalize on having the fifth most diverse economy in the country, meaning that our ag economy is a huge piece of this, our manufacturing economy, our biotech and research is a big part of it, and then making sure these budgets support those industries, whether it's making sure affordable child care throughout all parts of Minnesota, making sure that there's not an overburden on the landowners, especially ag landowners, when we're talking about school funding, to make sure we can make up for that, with this idea that every child deserves an opportunity for a quality education, and not all parts of the state are the same. And then I think reducing some of the cost for folks, reducing some of the taxes that are there, making sure we're using our surplus to remove long-term costs, but also to build for the future. So it's an exciting time. We're kind of dropping out a little bit of the hints around the ag budget here, folks who are advocating for more investments in the biofuels, more access to markets, some of the innovations we're seeing. It's exciting time down here. I think people would feel hopeful. We're blessed. The world's always going to need to eat. They're going to need fuel and they're going to need fiber. We do it as well as anybody.
Anything in this budget plan about infrastructure?
Yeah, and of course, that infrastructure will include broadband, and we'll have that robust funding to make sure we get that built out border to border. But we've got all of the matching funds in there to meet the federal infrastructure law. Biggest investments in roads, bridges, water infrastructure, the things that we need, we've not seen in a generation. Those will be in there. And I think we're hearing from folks talking about excitement around the Port of Duluth being a point of to send to markets, understanding that those local township bridges, they don't just move a few cars over them, they move a big chunk of the food we produce over them, and to make sure all of those are invested in. And then the local things that make communities work. Water infrastructure, and understanding that smaller communities don't have the tax base to pay for all that, but all Minnesotans benefit from some of our rural communities. So there's going to be a big push on infrastructure. It's going to, I think, again, bonding projects that are out there. Minnesota's as well positioned as we've probably been in decades. My message here today was, in a time where it's, you know, a lot of uncertainties, what state government can provide is certainty to folks, especially in the ag world, of the things that we can control, we should.
And I was reading a little bit about child care. That was something that you discussed in your budget plan as well. And that's a big deal to a lot of farmers and ranchers. They have generally one person on the farm and one person works off the farm. Yeah. And that gets difficult when you've got children at home as well.
Yeah, it's huge. We were just mentioning when you have large, commodity groups, agriculture groups like Farm Bureau have been a great advocate for making sure that child care is more accessible and more affordable. This is a problem nationwide. Minnesota, we want to solve it. So we've had a tax, some help in there, rebates back to folks. Folks making less than $200,000 can get about $2,500 per child to get them in to get that daycare. It also makes, if you're in a smaller community and somebody's thinking about opening a daycare center, now it works. It makes sense in this. And we believe this is the investment in the workforce for the future, as well as getting those children off to a good start. But it's right now. We've got a lot of folks, and it's a lot of women, did not reenter the workforce after COVID. Some of it has to do with it costs more to put in childcare and go to work than it does to do it yourself. And I think trying to strike the balance, what's right for each family, and knowing that this is not just an urban issue, it's all across. In fact, in many cases, it's exacerbated in greater Minnesota because of the lack of that. So this is a bold proposal, we think, to make a big difference.
And that might tie into my next question a little bit here too about workforce. Labor has been tough to find.
Yep.
Maybe it's gotten a little bit better recently, but it's still something that people are worried about and concerned about.
Yeah, this is central both to the individuals to make sure everybody thrives. We can't afford to lose a single person. We have to make Minnesota a destination place for folks. We need to make life affordable, good quality schools, affordable childcare, affordable healthcare, making sure our tax system makes this you know, makes it lucrative for people to look at this. We want people to come here, whether they're teachers, they're nurses, they're entrepreneurs, or in the ag communities, to be able to come here. And so I think all of this fits together. I mentioned yesterday, it's not really a puzzle, it's more like a Lego, because it's kind of 3D. If we can reduce costs for Minnesotans, especially working Minnesotans, that provides that labor force that's going to go out there. And we're going to do things like paid family and medical leave. These are things that in the long run save and create a better workforce, where somebody might need to take an extended leave because they're receiving cancer treatment. They shouldn't be put at risk and have to drop out of the workforce to do so. And I think we've seen where states and most countries around the world do it, they get great results. So I think if you're out there and you're wondering where you're going to get your workforce, this is going to be a very place people look to want to live. And I think we know that we have a lot to offer.
You talked about biofuels and E15, E85, those sorts of things. What is your outlook on those renewable fuels?
Yeah, I've always believed that the biofuels were both a opportunity for economic growth in Greater Minnesota, and our producers have been on the forefront of that, but also an opportunity to move us towards a more carbon-free future. I think we see that we're moving towards some of the electrification in the grid, but as I talk to people, we'll have internal combustion engines on the road for decades. My goal is to make sure that a bigger part of that fuel is coming from biofuels and renewable fuel. We want to make our, you know, Minnesota be the hub of renewable, sustainable aviation fuel. The rest of the world's looking to who's going to do that. We have a world-class airport, the best in North America. We have Delta that is 100% involved in this, and we have independent companies that are starting to do the production on this. We're probably not going to see battery-powered airplanes, but we certainly could see 100% biofuel-fired airplanes. And that's where I think Minnesota, again, is better positioned than any other state.
Any other big topics that you've been hearing here today or want to make sure our farmers and ranchers are keeping in mind right now?
Yeah, I think the one thing is that those supports we put in place, I always mention to people on this, when we have some of those risk management tools for the ag community, we all benefit from that. We see what happens when we have something like avian flu. We see what happens when food prices go up. Minnesotans and Americans are blessed that we have that abundant, affordable food supply. I just think keeping the case that the things that we can do in state government to keep that happening benefits all of us. So those who might be listening and say, you know, I don't know about ag, well, we all eat. So you are involved with ag, and we want to just keep that message out there.
Thank you so much, Governor Tim Walz, joining us here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, broadcasting from Mankato.